I'd like to share a story to begin with. This story is from Forbes magazine. It was written by Rich Karlgaard, and it's called Godly Work. It's a story of an emergency room nurse, and as she worked in the hospital, had been there for many years, she overheard some things and saw an example of leadership that she wrote out. So this man wrote about it. And so this lady one night, it was late, there had just been a surgery, the place was a mess, and her job, she was filling in her reports before she went home. And the doctor who had done the surgery came into the room, didn't really see her, and was talking to the young doctor that was assisting him. And so as he talked to the young doctor, he was telling him some points of like, you did really well here, and this was good, keep up that. But here's a couple of areas you could work on. And then after that, he put his hand on his shoulder and said, did you notice the young man that came in from house cleaning to come into the room? And the young doctor just looked at him like a stare, like, what? There was a person in there? Because they were focused on surgery and this and that and cleaning up. And so, no, he hadn't seen him. Well, the older doctor said, his name is Carlos. His wife is Maria. He has four children, and he told him their names and ages. He said he lives just a couple blocks down the road. He came up from Mexico a few years ago. He does an excellent job. He comes in there and cleans up our room from the surgery so that we can get in there and help other patients. So he said, what I want you to do is next week, I want you to tell me something about Carlos that I don't already know. In other words, get to know him. Ask him some questions. And so as I thought about this story, you know, this nurse was stunned and she sat there and said, you know, I've just witnessed amazing leadership. You know, that this doctor's teaching him things about surgery, but also about looking at the whole team, the hospital. Every worker is important. We need to appreciate them. And so this relates to us here at Church Services, that every member is important. We're all God's children. We're here to work together, whether we're elderly, whether we're handicapped, whether we're young, whether we're a teenager. It doesn't matter. We're all a part of this team, a part of this body. And we could ask the questions, why would even kids want to stay in this church as they grow up if we as brethren weren't willing to show them interest, if we didn't even want to get to know their name? Or why would they want to come and ask us advice if we didn't show that interest, just like the young doctor needed to get to know that person that helped clean up the rooms? You know, it reminds me of the example of Jesus Christ when the disciples came to him and they said, don't listen to these parents bringing up their little children. We don't have time for that. And we know what Christ said, you know, how important the little children were. In other words, they're a part of the family here. He said, of such is the kingdom of God. And so we have to realize that every individual is important to God first and foremost, but it should be to us, which is why James in his book states that we're to visit the widows and the orphans. We're to have consideration for them. He says that is pure religion. If you look beyond yourself and the people that you're drawn to, that you can get to know the whole family. And so all of us are a part of a family. All of us can do better in that regard. To get to know one another, to grow, to realize that we'll be serving together in God's kingdom forever and ever. And there's work to do in getting ready for that. And so God has provided this setting for us. He commands us to assemble, to come together. And I'm thankful for everyone that makes the effort to come and to worship God together as a family, because this is a perfect environment for what God is inviting us to do. Let's begin in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7 and verse 14. You know, we look to the scriptures because it's the word of God. It's inspired. And it shows us what's important. It shows our roles in the coming kingdom of God. And this life is to get us ready for our future. You think about the incredible potential that God has for each one of us. Notice what Daniel says here. Daniel 7 verse 14. He says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And so this is given to Jesus Christ, but notice that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. So this is a picture of the future here. And all people, it says, will serve Jesus Christ. We know he's the door. He's the way. He set us a perfect example. And he leads us to the Father to have this relationship. He's our mediator. And so we will be serving forever in the kingdom of God. So this is so important. And we realize that serving is a huge part of our future. We have to think about that because we're in training now. And if we're not ready to serve God, as it says we will be doing here, then why would God even invite us into the kingdom? So my title today is Preparing to Serve God Forever. You know, we need to stop and think about the blessings that serving offers us. Serving a great God, a loving Father. They are righteous, joyful, and we will do that for eternity. So what an awesome blessing that is. And learning to serve is a huge part of our calling. So we could ask ourselves the question, what kind of servants are we? Can we do better? Today I would like to focus on the idea that now is the time to get ready to serve. You know, not wait until later. You know, because we're going to be doing it for eternity. So if we're in high school, don't wait until you graduate to serve. If you're in college, you know, don't wait until I get married and have kids. If you're still working, don't wait until you're retired to be ready to serve. Are we going to be a part of all those nations and languages that Daniel mentions here that will serve God? Please turn with me next to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation 1 verse 5. So for those of you who have looked for jobs before, most jobs require a resume. And so how does our resume look regarding our future career? You know, what does God see on our resume? Like, are we really developing and getting ready for that job? Because when we envision our future jobs, it should motivate us to gain experience, to grow in that, just like we do on a physical level, no matter what job you do. If you're an accountant or a nurse or a school teacher, we want to do better at that. We want to grow over the years. And so this group is a spiritual family. We're a team, and we can improve together as a part of the family of God. Revelation 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now notice what he's done. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as kings, as priests, we will govern the people, you know, throughout the millennium, during the white throne judgment. And so we must not be slack concerning these promises. God says, I'm willing to offer these to you, but will we be ready? Are we preparing daily? So why do I bring this up? Because the idea of servant leadership is a part of our future. And if we're not practicing that now, if we're not preparing in a proper way, we will not be ready to the extent that God would want us to be. And so it's important to think about how we serve at home, how we serve at our job, how we serve in our communities, how we serve at church. Every area is an opportunity to grow in this. Notice the first part of verse 7 here. Behold, he is coming. Jesus Christ will be sent by the Father to come back and change things, to restore things to this earth that we can't hardly imagine. We read about it, but it will be so different. But the idea that he is coming, and we know that, we better get ready. That's the idea here. That our future job is important, and we have a short time in life to be trained. And we know how quickly life goes by. Some of you think, well, I've been married 20 years or 40 years or 60 years. Life goes by quite rapidly. And so we need to take this seriously because our future positions are based on the character that we build now. And yet we're creatures of habit. There's areas that we overlook. I know I overlook things. You overlook things. It's like that young doctor. He was trying to do his job well, but he hadn't even thought about the individuals that came in to serve that maybe he wasn't totally connected with, but they were there in the room working when he was cleaning up and moving on to something else. He didn't even notice that. So what is it that we don't notice that we need to have our eyes open to? Because spiritually, we must recognize where we're at in God's eyes and ask for his help and allow his Spirit to guide us so that we are getting ready. And does our vision of the future include serving, include leadership? Does it include helping others and teaching others? Because that's what the scriptures tell us that we will be doing. Let's turn next to Matthew 20 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. As we look at the world and its leaders, it doesn't always provide us with the best example of servant leadership, does it? You know, some of the men and women who have served their countries, maybe even for a long time, you know, they lorded over the people at times. Even the kings of Israel did that. They set terrible examples. And so our most important role model is Jesus Christ. He is coming, but he set an example as he walked this earth. Let's notice what he did here in Matthew 20, verse 28. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So that example that we read about was perfect. Everything he did, we can focus our eyes on that and realize that he served to the point of death. So he not only was the creator, he gave us life, but now he's our savior because he was willing to do that. So are we willing to do better? With God's help, of course. Let me offer a quote from John C. Maxwell. He said, good leaders must communicate vision clearly, creatively, and continually. However, the vision doesn't come alive until the leader models it. So we can have all these ideas about how to be a great leader, but until we start serving and loving and giving, until a king or a president starts doing that, the people really don't follow along as easily. And so this is important for, I thought this quote was very good, because the person that wants the people under them to do something, they need to be doing it themselves. So to be a good leader, it's vital we know how to serve. I mean, that is a requirement for being in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ showed us how to serve. He did it with love. And we have those stories written out for us. And we're given a vision of how it will be in the kingdom to be those servant leaders. You know, Paul writes in Ephesians about how every member is to do their share. That's what causes growth in the body. So serving is a part of doing our share. So how well do we serve those around us? You know, as husbands, you know, we can come home from work. We can say, oh, I expect my wife to do this for me and get that and do that and plop down. But we have to think as the husband, as the head of the household, are we setting a good example? Do we strive to say, hey, how can I help? You know, we may be tired, but as a servant, we can at least offer that. Or as a wife, you know, we have different roles. They have different roles they play. But, you know, how well do they serve God? Or how well do they do their Bible study? You know, we can get so caught up in one role that we let go of another role. So there's all these things that we have to think about, just like that young doctor again. Our vision needs to be opened up a little more to say, how can I do better? You know, as parents, think about the great influence that you have on your children. Day after day, year after year, to model their lives, you know, after Jesus Christ, and we're to imitate that so that they see that in us, so that they can go out and have the best life possible. And so they watch, and they need that love, and they need that stability, and they want us to play with them. But a part of that is serving them so they can have the best future possible. And we could go into other areas, such as a worker or as a student in school. Every one of these areas, there's a role there to serve, because we can either show love in that role, or we can be selfish. Like, well, it's all about me. Why don't people serve me? And so our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ, our Lord, they're watching us. They're hoping, willing to help us. And we could ask the question, would they want us to rule over cities? You know, what type of servant would we be? Let's look at verse 25 here in Matthew 20. Just go back a few verses here, verse 25. It says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. So when we stop and let those words sink in, the word servant here is the Greek word diakonos, and it means an attendant, a waiter. It's talking about somebody that does menial labors, menial jobs. Like somebody, you go into a restaurant and they're just serving you. They bring out your food, they pick up the plates, etc. That's what we're to be, those type of servants. Like, in other words, nothing's beneath us. Like, oh, I won't do that. I'm too good for that. No, God is asking us to do like Jesus Christ did, who laid his life down for people that sinned, people that wanted to kill him. He gave his life for them as well. So Jesus is saying here that to become great, we must learn to serve. And many world leaders forget that, that their jobs, their role is a position of service. And it's wonderful when you see a leader that takes on that seriously and lives his life that way. Verse 27, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. In other words, let him be your doulos here, your bondservant. It means one who is frequently in subjection. They're willing to be under you. Even though they might be over you, they're saying, I'm willing to, in a sense, be under you and serve you just as a house servant might do. So when we think about God's role, his power, he owns us. And yet, we have to remember that we are his bondservants, that we're willing to serve him in every area. I'll just refer to 1 John 2 and verse 6. It says, he who says he abides in Christ ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So when we think about the role that Jesus Christ was willing to do while on this earth, we have to imitate that. So if we have a relationship with God, if we claim to be a Christian, we can't just do as we please. We need to surrender and follow these principles that we've been given. You know, it's easy to be stuck in a comfort zone, not to look for areas where we need to improve. Just week after week, come, hear a message, but not really change much. That is hard. We know that. We've tried things, and sometimes we slip back into them. And so God is saying, you're a spiritual family. We're to walk as Jesus Christ did. And he came to serve. So we need to continue to strive to do that, to really look at that attitude of humility, to be willing to serve when a lot of people around us say, no, that's beneath me. I'm this old, I don't need to serve, or I'm this educated, I don't need to serve. No, God is teaching us lessons. Let's go to John 13, Gospel of John chapter 13 and verse 12. You know, here we have Jesus keeping his last Passover, and he gave us a powerful example that we should really consider, that we should follow. John 13, verse 12. So when Christ had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verse 16, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So how many leaders out there, how many presidents and kings and those in high position would be willing to do this? To literally get down and maybe not wash the feet, but do some act of service to the people that are under them. This is what Christ was willing to do. As a servant leader, Christ focused on helping those around him. So we have to think about, you know, even coming to services. There are people here that serve every week. Different congregations have different opportunities, but, you know, there's usually a coffee bar, and they're setting up flowers, and there's getting sound ready, and there's the stage, and there's cleanup, or just all these setting out cards, etc. There's all these jobs going on, but we might be the one that enjoys the coffee bar, but have we ever thought about serving the coffee? We might enjoy, you know, having the cards there, but have we ever thought about willing to help in some way to take a little burden off someone else? You know, we might have the ability to lead songs or play the piano, but if we're not willing to step up and do that, because it does take effort, it does take time, and God is asking us to use the talents that he's given us. And if more people volunteer, then it makes it easier on the ones already doing the job. It spreads out the load, so it's easier. So we can ask the bigger question here. is, will we be ready to serve in the kingdom of God? If it comes sooner than we think, are we doing those things now that are preparing us for that? Now, there are many men and women of faith that we read about in the scriptures. They referred to themselves as servants. So do we view ourselves as servants of God and servants of others? Let me just refer to a couple of scriptures here. You can write down 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10. But listen to this, you know, just how some of these men or and women, that these two happen to be men, the examples I have, but how they viewed themselves. 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. See, we can read right over that, but he looked at himself as truly a servant of God. Another example of that, Daniel 6, verse 20, just referring to that. And when he came to the den, so this is the king, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? So Daniel was such a servant of God that the king even recognized and referred to him as a servant. I mean, what an honor that would be. That's what we should be. You know, when our neighbors see us, when those we work with, they should realize that we are servants of God. They might not call us that, as in the Bible, but this is how they should view us. Like that person, that man, that woman, that child, they truly strive to follow God, and they have a humble attitude. And so the king noticed, and people notice, whether we're humble, whether we pitch in, whether we help. We need to think about how we can improve in that. How do others view us? You know, are we friendly? Are we helpful? Are we on time? Or do negative items come to the minds of those who view us and say, they don't do that very well. They're not a very good servant in that area. Here's a quote by a lady named Layla Akita. She said, we are endowed with different kinds of gifts for different kinds of services. And we know that's true. Each one of us, there's things that some of you can do that I hadn't even dreamed of doing. And if I did, I'd just be a bumbling idiot in that. I can't even hardly figure out how to do that. But then there's other things that come easier to me that you might say, well, I've never thought of doing that. That's hard for me. And so God gives us different talents and gifts, and we need to explore how to use them to do that in serving others. You know, sometimes people get tired of opening the building for on the Sabbath day, or to set up the stage, or doing flowers or song leading. You know, those jobs can wear on us. And yet these jobs are opportunities to prepare for our future. You know, once again, we will be serving under our Father and Jesus Christ, and that whole realm we will be serving forever. That's our job. Turn with me back to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll look at verse 31. Now, most of us are familiar with the parable of the talents. And here it mentions that the kingdom is like a man traveling from a far country. And so the master entrusts his servants to handle the affairs of his estate. He leaves for a while. He expects growth. And then when he comes back, you know, he'll either say, well done, or you wicked and lazy servant. We decide, and those individuals that are left behind to grow and develop. And so Jesus Christ will return, and he will expect us to use our talents, our gifts, expect us to use his spirit that he's given us. So let's notice a few verses here, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So that's what we want to hear, isn't it? That's what we're working towards. Verse 35, he says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And so, brethren, we're judged on the type of servants that we've been and are working at. And we all have different abilities, but it requires that we develop them. And at times we've let down, but God is asking us to pick up the pace, and we're being encouraged here to make a greater effort. Let's notice verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So these individuals went out of their way to help others, you know, to feed somebody that was not doing well, you know, maybe lost their job, didn't have enough groceries, or needed their lawn mowed, or they were sick and needed somebody to take them to the doctor, whatever it was. Christ is telling us that when we serve one of the brethren or one of the individuals in our community, he counts that as towards him. So we need to think about that. So there's different ways to serve. I know, you know, if we're an older congregation here, we get up in years, we have aches and pains, we might use walkers, we might not be able to lift certain loads, but there's still things we can do. There's always opportunities to serve, such as encouraging words to others. That is a huge service. Everything in the society seems to be negative, and so to use your words to lift people up, or to write cards, or getting on your knees and praying for people. I mean, what a service for those individuals that don't even sometimes know about it, and you're asking God to heal them, to help them, to guide them, or to even share your experiences with your brethren, things you've been through that were unbelievable, and others haven't gone through that, and you can share that. And people can, you know, get to know you better, and they can learn from that, or even to take time to talk to the youth. So you think about the different ways that we can serve, and I just mentioned a few. And so we should think about that more and how we do in our daily goals. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 29. No, 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. So here David, King David, instructs his son Solomon. He's wanting to give him a good start and how to live and what to do. And he tells them about the role of serving. So just as you as parents want to pass on the example to your children, as David did to his son, it's important that we teach them these things. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. David says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart. Think about that. I mean, this is what one of the main goals that we should pass on to our children about serving God, who was worthy of worship. Serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So this mentions two aspects of service that we should grow in: that loyal heart and that willing mind. I offer a few synonyms of the word loyal. It can also be similar to faithful, dependable, reliable, trustworthy, or devoted. That is what God is asking of our hearts, to have that trustworthiness. And so Jesus Christ had these qualities. So when we're doing a job, are we dependable? You know, do we have that dependable heart? Now, the other point that King David makes here is to be willing to serve, to have that willing mind. And so we have to make sure that we don't hold back when we have opportunities to go out and help someone. Our understanding of serving changes greatly as we become parents, doesn't it? When you all of a sudden, let's say you're a couple and you haven't had any children yet, and then that first child comes along and you go, wow, I don't get to sleep like I want. I get up in the middle of the night, feed, diapers, and all these things, it teaches us, wow, this service, that this little child doesn't even recognize how much you're serving them. But this teaches us. And then after they get older, we still serve them. You know, we answer all their questions. Sometimes the same question over and over. You go, wow, I've heard that one 100 times. Why? Or, you know, whatever they do. So we have to think about what we can learn through the physical level of how God is preparing us for the spiritual. And God expects us to be developing our servant qualities. Are we willing? Are we willing to do that? Some of the synonyms for willingly are cheerfully, eagerly, or gladly. So this is what God is asking us to do as we look to him and have a heart and our mind. He's saying, I want you to be loyal and I want you to be willing. So it's important for us to do that as we serve our brethren, to look for ways to gladly step out and help others. Turn with me next to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 7. It's not always easy for us to volunteer, but our lives should be focused on opportunities to serve because we are getting ready for a kingdom. I think we all know it's coming, that we all look forward to it. We pray, "Thy kingdom come." So here's an aspect of serving here, Luke 17, verse 7. Christ says, "And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" So God wants us to have this mindset. We don't have to always be told, "Hey, you're doing a great job." Not that it doesn't hurt to say that to others, but the idea is that we don't have to say, "Well, I need to be praised so I can go on to the next step." No, God is saying these are the duties that we have, and we need to continue to move forward. And it's a learning process. It takes time to do this. And no matter what age we are, even if we're in our 80s, we're still learning and growing in these things. And so it's our duty to worship God. You know, even attending Sabbath services, just to come here, to assemble together as he commands us, is so important. But we need to go above and beyond those commands to be pleasing when we do it, to be profitable in how we do it. And so we do struggle. It's hard to change old habits that we get into, but God will help us. He will offer us his power. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13. Anytime we serve and don't do it with all our might, brethren, that's not the right way. It's not the right way because we demonstrate love through our service. So that's why we have to put our hearts into it. You know, what good is it to go visit a widow and just say, "Oh, just stop by, hi," and then leave and check it off our list, like we got that done? No, we have to do it with our whole heart, as we're told. Notice here in Deuteronomy 11, verse 13, it says, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So the word here, serve, means to work. In other words, it takes effort to serve. That's why a lot of times we don't feel up to doing that. We go, "Oh, that's extra work. I want to take it easy. I want to coast." So God is inviting us. And so we need to ask ourselves, how much exertion do we put into serving God? Do we serve him mightily as he would want us to? And we see several qualities here that are mentioned to grow in. You know, he mentions obeying God's commandments, mentions loving God, but also serving him with our whole heart. So God is getting his children ready, just like we wanted to prepare ours for a good life. God's getting us ready for eternal life. And we're getting ready to serve the supreme ruler of the universe. And how we live our daily lives, whether at work or school, whether at home or in the community, God is saying all this is teaching you and getting ready for your future. Verse 14, "So if we do these things, look, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil." So God will bless us if we obey him and if we serve him with all of our heart. "And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled." Isn't this what we want as humans, to be blessed? But God is simply saying you need to do some things. Verse 16, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." So sometimes humans do serve, but they serve the wrong things. You know, we can idolize this or pay homage to something that God says, "No, that's a false god. Don't do that." So we have to have balance in all this. So what we serve is really what we worship, you know. If we sit all day and watch TV, that's kind of our God. We just pay all of our attention to that. That's our focus. So we have to be careful in these things. Verse 18, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. So it's so important to follow God's instructions, but also to pass that on to the next generation. Because with doing that, God says, I'm willing to bless you. And then that blessing can be passed on to our little ones so that they can have an enjoyable life. Verse 21, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. So if we serve God properly, he's willing to bless us in an unbelievable way. And not just in this life. A lot of those blessings come in a future life as spirit beings in the very family of God. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and verse 2. I should say 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. So let's consider a few other qualities that servants should have. So here Paul reminds Timothy some things that are important. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, it says, and a servant of the Lord. So first of all, do we apply that to ourselves? Are we fulfilling this role? And if so, we need to pay attention. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. And we could go on, but just think about these things that God is telling us that we need to apply as we serve, because they're preparing us once again for the kingdom of God. So we should be working on the idea that we don't quarrel, like, oh, my way's so right that I'm going to fight you about it, or to be careful with our words, or to be slow to anger. And, you know, be careful when we speak out. If we're angry, we have to slow down there, you know, be slow to anger, as God tells us. I just refer to Proverbs 20 and verse 3. The NIV translation says this, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. So if we quarrel a lot, God calls us foolish. And he says that's not properly serving others. Verse 23, here in 2 Timothy 2. We'll just jump up one verse, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. So these are admonitions for those who are willing to serve God, that we need to think about that. True servants of God are careful with their words. We must think before we speak. And two other characteristics of serving are mentioned is gentleness and to be patient. And these are both fruits of God's Spirit. So we need to allow God to show us how to express those. But here it also mentioned able to teach. And so we talked about teaching our children. And eventually God wants us to teach all the people on the earth, the kings, the educated, people that have so much more IQ than us. But God says, no, I'm going to give you that job. And as spiritual sons and daughters, you'll have the ability to teach them my way. And so we need to grow in the knowledge of God's way as servants of God, so that we can teach it, so that we are ready to give an answer to those who ask. So we have to know what to teach. We have to believe it. We have to live it. And this is what God is inviting us to do. So every day of our lives, this is what we're to prepare for. Let me discuss another important aspect of serving in the congregation, because each one of these affect us. You know, earlier I brought up the example of that older doctor as he spoke to the young man who was a doctor, and to help him to recognize that everyone was to be a part of the team. And if we don't know our church family, then how can we properly serve them? How can we appreciate them? How can we love them to the fullest extent? How can we pray for them when we don't even know much about them? Or how can we encourage them in the areas that they're needing that? So let's go to Acts 2 and verse 42 as I just explore one little other area about serving here. Acts 2, verse 42. You know, after Peter had given his sermon on the Feast of Pentecost, the church began to grow. God tells about how it expanded. People were getting baptized. The members grew closer to one another. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, "And they, the brethren, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And so I want to focus for a moment on this word fellowship. That word in the Greek means a partnership, a participation. It means even to communicate or to distribute, like you're sharing things together. And so this term is all about getting to know the whole family, about showing love and about serving one another. Fellowship is so important. That's why when we come together to services, it's a wonderful blessing just to be able to fellowship with one another. In other words, to serve one another and to get to know one another. Because fellowship gives us the opportunity to listen. It teaches us how to work together. It's an environment for growth that God has given us before and after services and throughout the week, etc. So God is teaching us through the Sabbath service about fellowship. It's another opportunity to serve. Let's go down to verse 46. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And so think about this in the millennium, that God is going to set us over the cities as leaders, as rulers, as humble servants, to teach the people, to help them. And so this gathering together is important. It's preparing us on a larger scale to get ready for the huge job of teaching the millions and the billions of people that God will call in the future. And I know it takes time to come early to services, to visit, or to help in a way with serving, to volunteer with something, or to encourage others, and to get to know all the brethren. There's sometimes I've been in congregations after 10 years of being there, and others have been there, they go, "What's the name of that person?" They don't even know the first name or the last name. I said, "Can you give me a clue?" So it's easy because we have our friends. We're drawn to certain people. That's understandable. But we do need to make an effort to get to know the whole family, to have that fellowship. 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1 and verse 3. We notice here how God views fellowship. Because it's not only a fellowship with him that he wants us to have, but with our brethren, with each other. Notice how important that is. 1 John 1 and verse 3. It says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." I'll read a few more verses here. "This is the message which we have heard from him," in verse 5, "and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So you notice that the word fellowship was mentioned several times there. God wants us to have that partnership. He wants us to communicate. He wants us to have that attitude of sharing with one another, as fellowship can mean. And so, brethren, we're family. We are partners in this goal of becoming the children of God. And we've been invited to take part of that now. So we must be developing our fellowship. We must be participating together in things as often as we can. We also have relationships with our neighbors or those family and friends, but this is an important aspect that God has given us here. Let's look next at Hebrews 10 and verse 24, a very familiar scripture that I refer to quite often, but I know it's important to God because he put it in the Bible and he reminds us of even this service that we have today, each Sabbath, each holy day. He goes, "I want you to come together and to fellowship." Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So think about that. This word here, consider, it's really saying, focus your eyes on this. You know, take a good look at this. So he says, consider each other in order to stir up love and good works. And what's the primary example he gives us here? Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So this commanded assembly is a beautiful opportunity of how to consider one another, how to stir up love and good works. We can do it in other ways as well, but if we don't do it here, I think God's telling us you probably won't do it elsewhere. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And then he says, as is the manner of some. God knew this would be a problem down through the ages at the end time. But he says, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I remember 35 years ago when I was raising my two children, and we had 100 miles one way to church. And so I would get to church about 20 minutes before. But by the time you got the family settled or ran to the bathroom and did this and that, I didn't really have a time to fellowship. And I look back and I regret that. It's like, why did I not serve more? Why did I not make a little more effort to set a good example for the children? And so we all have things that we do, but we need to, if we're going to serve, we need to get there in time to be able to do that. Or if we're going to go and encourage people or get to know them, we need time to do that. So how are we doing in learning to serve God and each other? Are we redeeming the time? Are we looking for opportunities to grow in while we still have the health and the opportunities? Malachi 3 and verse 16. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Brethren, as we evaluate our lives, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we can say, I have areas that I can improve. You would say the same. And I know there's some that serve a lot, and that's very much appreciated. So, but to each of us, I think we can evaluate and see if we can do a little better. Malachi 3 and verse 16, it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. So there's that fellowship. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Boy, if we think about that, this whole sermon is tied around that fact that God's going to judge us. He wants us to be jewels. He wants us to be children, precious in his sight. And it all comes down to those who serve him and who don't. At least that's an important aspect that God inspired for us to see. And so there's many different ways to show love, but God is inviting us to look and to improve in that. So brethren, in conclusion, we must be developing the qualities of a servant. One that's faithful, one that's loyal, one that's obedient, one that's humble, and we could add other attributes to that. So get to know your spiritual family. Include them, encourage them, serve them. That's what God is inviting us to do. How we serve in this life will determine whether we have eternal life, whether we have that chance to be in God's kingdom and to serve him. And it will be a privilege to serve in the family of God because it's a way to worship God. It's a way to show him honor. Let's look at a couple scriptures here quickly in Revelation 7 as we close out on this topic of serving. Revelation 7, verse 14. During the Great Tribulation, a great multitude will be converted. And so that's the backdrop here. And an angel asks, who are these individuals? Who are these ones that come out of the tribulation and are going to be children of God? So Revelation 7, verse 14. And so the answer here is, and I say to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Look at how a major part of our role in the future will be serving God. And we could add, and serving one another. This is so important to God. We can read right over these, but you can look at, the great tribulation. You look at this great multitude and all these things and lose the fact that in there is this little word serve, and that's what we're going to be doing for eternity. And it will be a wonderful thing. It'll be a wonderful life about honoring God and praising Him. So can you imagine dwelling with God forever? No more suffering, no more sin, no more death. And yet, we will have the best job ever, and we're being trained for it, to serve the Most High, who has never sinned, who will treat us perfectly, laid down their life for us. So this is what God's children will be doing, will be serving. One final scripture here in Revelation. Go to chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 3. When we think about it, God is preparing us for an awesome future. And as we assemble, it gives us the opportunity to obey God's command. It gives us, you know, great opportunity to get to know our brethren more and to have that participation, to have that fellowship. Revelation 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. So are we truly servants of the living God? Yes, now in the physical form, but getting ready to serve God as spiritual sons and daughters. Verse 4, they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. See, if we serve God, this is what God promises to do. Verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Speaking of us, we don't deserve that, to have positions to reign with Jesus Christ. But if we're willing to serve and be humble, God's willing to exalt us and lift us up so that we can have these positions. And when we do serve properly, it reflects that we do love God. We do honor Him. We exalt His name, and we pay that respect that is due to Him. That's why it's so important for us to learn how to properly serve. Brethren, the world we know is passing away. You know, as we look at our nation even, and the attitudes of other countries towards us, as we look at our economy and all the problems, it's only growing worse. You look at the protests. God has told us where it's headed. The point is, it's passing away, and our physical lives will come to an end. But God paints a picture of a future that He holds for all of us, to be in His kingdom, to be His children. And if we learn to serve, then our relationship with God and with each other will go on forever. This is what we're invited to do, to truly have that outlook and to prepare for it. And so as we have opportunity, let's serve our families. Let's serve our communities. Let's serve our relatives and our neighbors. Let's especially serve the household of God, our brethren, as we prepare together to serve God forever.